Welcome to the pre-post film review. I'm John Asquith.
And I'm Matt Stevenson. So the way the pre-post film review works is that you'll hear us chat about a film over two distinct periods of time. So the first thing you'll hear will be us talking about the trailer for a film, which will be completely spoiler-free, and we'll kind of make some predictions and talk about what we expect the film to be like. Then we'll jump forward in time and you'll hear us do a full review of the film when it's released. This part of the podcast will be full of spoilers, so don't listen to the second half until you've seen the film, and we'll kind of do a more in-depth review with our impressions and compare them to what we thought the trailer represented the film like. So this week we're going to be chatting about the new Disney film Moana.
For generations, this peaceful island has been home to our family. But beyond our reef, a great danger is coming. Legend tells of a hero who will journey to find the demigod Maui. And together, they will save us all.
Lue, 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 lue.
Mili, 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 mili.
What? Maui!
A boat! A boat!
Maui? Shapeshifter?
Alright, so we've just watched the trailer for the new Disney film Moana, John. I actually don't really know much about this, so maybe you can inform me. Can you perhaps give us a little bit of a summary of what you know about the film? Like, do you know who is directing this and anything about the writers? Given Disney's recent sort of CGI trend of making quite good films, I'm curious to know if anyone that we're familiar with is involved in this, and also, I guess, subsequently, what your thoughts are on the trailer itself and potentially the film.
There are a couple of Disney well-knowns directing this one. That is Ron Clements and John Musker. And they directed The Little Mermaid.
Oh, cool. Another seafaring adventure.
Yes. Well suited. Yes. Yeah. That's right. They also did The Princess and the Frog.
Interesting.
Aladdin.
Oh.
The Great Mouse Detective. That was their first one. Treasure Planet, which wasn't great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so these guys are
pretty good track record.
Good track record. Sort of modern Disney legends in a way. They've been at the company for a long time. So that's an exciting thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know a lot about anything else about it, actually, in terms of production or even really what the story is, but other than what we've seen in the trailer. But I'm definitely intrigued. I think this trailer is maybe shows a little too much, but isn't at the same time isn't that bad, because it really just shows the two central characters meeting up and going on an adventure. It actually looks a little bit like Kubo, you know, and the Two Strings, in a way of almost like this fetch quest that they have to go on or something like that to defeat this bad guy. I'm really excited for this. I think it looks funny. I think there's good potential there for these. You're spending a lot of time with these two characters, so that I'm guessing there's going to be lots of character development and probably some tears at the end of the movie some shape or form. I think the design and the look of the film is just incredible.
Yeah, like, I agree.
It's taking CG to a whole new level, and remaining stylized as well. It's not like, even though the water is like really realistic, it's colored in a very stylistic way, and the characters are still very stylized, which is very awesome. So I'm really excited for this, and I think Disney are on a roll at the moment. They're last probably four or five films at this point, animated films, have been above average, if not really, really good. So I hope they can continue that trend with this. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of, Even though you just said that there might be some tears at the end, I do like that the current sort of trend of Disney animated films aren't to go for the big tear-jerker sucker punch moments that I feel like Pixar's sort of fallen into. Like, that seems the mandate for any new Pixar film is to make you cry for 50% of the runtime, which I'm getting a little bit tired of. I like that these Disney films can be a bit different. And I mean, Zootopia was almost like a detective noir film, and you know, this looks just like a bit more of a straightforward adventure film, not in a bad way, like in a good way.
Yeah.
I like the cast. I like the setting. I do think some of the gags are a little bit hit and miss for me. Like, there's one right at the end where he gets shot in the butt with some tranquilizer darts, and it's like a bit lowbrow humor that I feel like Disney's usually a bit above. That wasn't very funny. But then it ended with a great gag when he jumped down that giant hole, and it was kind of like
yells
about how he's still falling ages later. So I'm hopeful that the humor will be good. I really like Dwayne Johnson, so he's got such charisma. Hopefully that comes through, even though it's just voice work, because that could really help like the humor shine, and that all that character stuff will work really well. I don't know. I'm really excited for this. Like, I like the setting feels very unique, and it's kind of like the Sporing Islander mythology, which I can't think of many films, let alone animated films, that have sort of explored that, which is cool.
Absolutely.
And yeah, like you said, the visuals just look awesome. What do you feel? How do you feel about the like action-y bent? Like, it seems to swing pretty heavy towards, like you said, almost video gamey fetch quest and then defeat a final boss territory. Like, there's a huge big lava monster that they seem to face off with at the end. Are you looking forward to that, or do you think that's potentially problematic?
I mean, it could just become a bit too much and distract from telling a good story and spending time with the characters. I must admit that the trailers I've seen before this were, I guess they were more teasers that didn't have any of that stuff. So I didn't really know where this was going. And I was surprised just now to see that it looks like it is fairly action heavy, I suppose, or at least times it will be. But I don't know. I don't think I'm too worried about that. I just don't think that's a decision they would make, is to waste time on action set pieces all of the time. I think there'll be a good balance. So I don't know. I'm not too concerned about that.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope they find a way to sort of thematically tie all that stuff in. I mean, the trailer doesn't, I don't think, necessarily suggest that there is much. But I hope that there is, like, something like Kubo did that really well, I think, in terms of the story and the boss battles and the, like, the themes of the movie all kind of working in tandem, whereas this looks like it could, you know, in the worst case scenario, just be a buddy sort of comedy where they have to go kill a big monster for some
good point
reason.
Yeah. I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah, me too.
For some reason, I'm expecting a bit more from this film. The trailer doesn't really go into whether Moana has a family or is missing a father figure or something like that. I'm hoping that there's some kind of relationship there that adds to that sort of thematic thing. She seems to be by herself with her like little pet chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's an area that they'll sort of delve into.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think there is like a shot early on of like a family with a young kid, but whether that's the implication is that's her or whether it's just part of the village life, I'm not too sure. We were talking earlier prior to recording this that I just recently found out that Taika Waititi did first pass of the script, who's the New Zealand director who did Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows. Which I love his stuff. And even though they've rewritten it since then and some other writers came on board, that does make me more hopeful. Well, I mean, having said that, like, his films are really good at the comedy angle. And I mean, I don't think he's really done much in terms of big picture mythology stuff. So I don't know whether it can help in that way, but just in terms of tone and character and just general sense of fun, if his DNA is still in there somewhere, that makes me super excited because I've loved everything he's done so far.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think maybe they have got the best of both worlds then, because if the first pass was his and perhaps it was more comedy based, then the subsequent writers probably have brought a bit more of that sort of Disney feels to it and injected maybe a few more dramatic moments and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like they're on whatever process they have there at the studio at the moment it's working for them. And after seeing Zootopia, which was in some ways kind of boundary pushing for them in terms of, some of the, quote unquote political things it sort of had in there. I just feel like, it would be weird if they just release now a very superficial buddy comedy, not that they have to say something, but
yeah,
it would be more than just surface level.
I hope so. I think my biggest hope would be that it would be something akin to The Incredibles, which doesn't necessarily have anything deep and philosophical to sort of ponder over, but it so perfectly ties the action into smaller thematic notes about family and roles within a family and how family dynamics work. Like, if they can find a way to do that, that would be perfect. And like you said, given the streak that they're on, there's no sort of reason to suspect this will be bad. I feel like every sort of trailer we've watched previously, I've kind of been a bit lukewarm to positive on, and the film has always exceeded my expectations. So I'm hoping this is the same.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think that's a problem that these Disney films have for some reason is that, and it could be because they cram the trailers generally with the most immature jokes that are in the movie. And they always feel like they are going to be, kind of a bit, surface level or something. But you're right, that does seem to be the case. And that actually happens with Pixar movies as well, I find. Maybe it's something to do with how you advertise an animated feature. But,
this is my canoe,
good point. And you
will journey. Thanks.
Did not see that coming.
The ocean is a friend of mine.
First, we've got to go through a whole ocean of bad. Kakamora.
Kaka what? They're kind of cute.
I got your back. It's Maui
time. Okay, so we've both now seen Moana, John. I'm curious to hear what you make of it and how you think it ranks with sort of the recent Disney animated output that they've been giving us.
I was really, really impressed by this movie. I loved the shit out of it, actually. I think it was it exceeded my expectations.
Cool.
I had high hopes going in, and I was really looking forward to seeing it. But I think it affected me emotionally more than I anticipated. I got a bit teary at a couple of points in this movie. And I love when Disney does a good musical film. And the songs in this really blew me away as well. I found myself kind of singing them after the movie, just walking down the street, singing them out loud, getting weird looks from people. No, but I was sort of humming them, and I've listened to the soundtrack heaps since seeing the movie. I thought the animation was incredible, of course. I mean, it's like, we talk on this podcast a bit about sort of missing 2D animated features, particularly from Disney, but far out. Like, this looks so good for a CGI film. I mean, CGI films look good, but this, like, takes it to another level. Like, it's just gorgeous. The design, the water is, like, the best CGI water I've ever seen. And that weirdly does gets me excited when CGI world looks good. The characters, I think, are really interesting. I think Moana is a great lead and is sort of continuing this new trend that Disney have of giving us maybe, you know, seemingly normal or traditional, I should say, protagonists, but they're actually quite progressive and breaking new ground in their own way. I mean, you know, obviously Disney is a family-friendly, rather conservative, I guess, company, and they're never going to just release a Disney princess that has a lesbian sex scene or something like that. But they're really consciously pushing the boundaries and not relying on what a traditional Disney movie would be, but at the same time keeping all the stuff we love about traditional Disney movies. And I think this is the best melding of that so far. I think Zootopia also did an awesome job of that, of being cute, wacky, funny characters, but also having a really strong political message, whether they want to acknowledge that or not. It totally did. Frozen having the girls don't have any love interest in that. Just like they find that their sisterly love is what saves the day. And Tangled was traditional. It didn't have any of that stuff. But I really love that movie too. And that's what started this kind of renaissance, I think, of Disney films. So, I don't know. I'm blabbing a bit and being vague. But I love this movie. I thought it was funny. I think some of our fears too, when we were talking about the trailer, like some of the comedy not landing or being too silly, doesn't feel like that when you see the full film, I think. Even like that little chicken side character, which doesn't really need to be in the movie, I guess, but is like quite funny. I don't know. I was just, very, very impressed by this film. How about you, Matt?
I mean, we say this every episode, but we're on the same page again, John. I think perhaps you were a tiny bit more enthusiastic than me, but I really love this as well. It exceeded my expectations, and you're right. I think the biggest concerns we had, or at least I had in the trailer, was the comedy, and you're right, most of that landed. I think there was a couple of examples that didn't work so well, but they're few and far between. Like, maybe the darts in the butt, which was off the trailer, wasn't as hilarious as some of the other things, but it certainly wasn't as bad as what the trailer made it feel like when it was sort of taken out of context. There is one gag that I really didn't like, which was the dumb tweeting, the line about tweeting.
Oh, yeah, I hated that too.
Which was such a clunker, and it should not have been in there. Cause it's
It got a massive laugh in my audience, really? And I just hated everyone
for it. It's just usually that, and the whole rest of the film is so above that kind of, like, current sort of humor, you know what I mean? Like, that feels like, I mean, we always use this as a derogative, but I actually like the Shrek films, but it feels like a Shrek joke, you know, like leaning on current trends to get a laugh.
Yeah, totally.
Which is so out of step with the rest of the film, it just feels disjointed, that gag. But anyway, that's like such a minor nitpick. I agree with everything you said. Like, the Moana as a Disney princess is exactly as you said, the most perfectly well integrated into the Disney canon, but while also being progressive at the same time. And I mean, I think there was some minor controversy about sort of like representations of body type in this film. Like, some people were unhappy about like the weight and air quotes of the way the Islander people were portrayed, which I think is ridiculous. But I really love, like, that Moana isn't like this minuscule stick princess. I mean, she's not big in any way, but it's like a minorly different body type that just expands what it is or what you can be as a Disney princess. You know, like, it's just taking a slightly different angle, which is way more inclusive and interesting than having the exact same thing shown to us every film. I love that so much. And again, just want to mirror you on the music, which I too was super impressed by, in particular, the "You're Welcome" song by The Rock, which I have listened to that probably like 100 times since seeing the film, and I could not stop singing it for like 3 days afterwards. I watched it on YouTube on repeat. Like, it's just so catchy and so fun, and I loved it to death.
Yeah.
So how would you rank it in terms of the recent Disney renaissance then, in terms of this?
Yeah.
Well, I guess first question, do we include Zootopia in that, because it feels different to an extent?
Yeah, I think yes.
Okay.
Because in my mind, it begins with Tangled and everything they've made.
Everything since Tangled. Okay, so if we include that, how would you rank... Like, is this the best of those, or would you still put one of the earlier ones above it?
It's very close. Yeah, I think if I can be a little sneaky boy, I'd have Tangled, because it kicked things off.
That's
it is extremely traditional Disney movie. But we hadn't seen one of those for a long time when it came out.
That's a good point.
And I wasn't expecting that movie to be like that. It wasn't advertised as a musical. I didn't know that it was. And then when I went into the cinema, I had such low expectations. That's probably the wrong way to put it. But not high expectations, put it that way. It really surprised me. So I think kind of earned a place in my Disney fanboy heart then, for being like new but quite nostalgic as well.
Yep.
Feeling like a 90s Disney movie. And from then they pushed forward. So I'd probably have Moana and Tangled sitting around the top. And then maybe Zootopia, Frozen, and Wreck-It Ralph down the bottom, which I think is probably the weakest
of
the newer batch.
I would probably, for me, put Frozen at the top. That because I had a similar experience. I mean, I had the same experience as you with Tangled, I think, but I also had it with Frozen in a different way, in that I expected Frozen to be Tangled, and it was so much more progressive and different.
That's very true.
And I know some people sort of have a problem with it being progressive, but see that it's almost too focused on that and it misses some other things. I feel like it's sort of turned into such a cultural phenomenon now that the songs have almost been killed, and it kind of turns people off the film. But when that first came out, I loved that film to death and saw it multiple times. And it just impressed me. I never expected Disney to pivot on its kind of values like that and skew them in a similar as what we're talking about with Moana. Like, it's still true to Disney formula, but it, like you said, there's no romantic love. It's all about sisterly love, and the way it humanizes the villain, and you realize halfway through that your main character is actually the villain of the film. Well, until the third act, which I guess you could argue is a misstep, but just for what it represents, I would put that as my number one. And then I would probably go Moana and Tangled, and then Zootopia, Wreck-It Ralph at the bottom. And I mean, I guess make lists are kind of, you know, pointless, but I guess it serves to illustrate that just how good the recent offerings Disney has been giving us, and how
totally
much respect they should get for trying to push these new progressive kind of films. You know, like, you're so right that it's an amazing balancing act they seem to be pulling off at the moment, by keeping things traditionally Disney feeling, but then being able to champion different viewpoints and different cultures that you wouldn't expect, you know, as the quote-unquote kids' film to be doing. You know,
totally.
None of the other studios are bothering with any of that. It's all about singing trolls and dancing pigs, you know? Like...
Yeah. God. that's so true. And they don't have to either. Like, they're going to make heaps of money either way, and maybe even some market research would cynically say not to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
They are, and they seem to be, it seems to be happening in Star Wars as well, and it seems to be a conscious decision. And at the same time, not like, it can be annoying, right, to shove a way of thinking down an audience's throat, even if you agree with it. Like, it could feel cynical, I guess, or political, and it doesn't feel like either of those. It feels very natural, and they're telling good stories, and it just happens to be, in this movie especially, not a young white princess who, like, and I think if you, what I was thinking when I was watching this was, like, if I had a daughter, or if I do one day, like, I want her to see this movie and realize that you can relate to people that look different than you or come from a different background or whatever. Yeah. And it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. Like, people make it such a problem, and it's not. Everyone on a fundamental level has dreams and aspirations and struggles with growing up and finding out who they are, and that's sort of what this movie's about, and finding sort of connecting with your family and your legacy but without shunning other people. And I just think you know, it's the way we talk about it perhaps sounds a bit over the top, or like it's this so inclusive huge you know, change for Disney, but it kind of is, like, considering what they've done in the past, I think.
Considering their track record of what was the really racist Disney film that they don't want released,
Song of the South. That's the one. Yeah, exactly. It's a long way from that. I mean, and that was a different time, obviously. Not to excuse it, but I haven't seen it. I'm curious to see.
Yeah, same. We should do an episode on it if we can get our hands on it.
We should. We should. Yeah, yeah. That's a really good idea. And, you know, I don't want the whole episode to be just about that, but it is definitely an important point to bring up.
Definitely.
And I think it's awesome for kids to see this. And also, like, specifically with this Pacific Islander culture, it's just so cool and interesting.
Mm.
And it lends itself, I think, to animation. I've sort of always felt that way, in that their traditional art style is very caricatured and very stylized. Mm. And you don't even have to, like, adapt it for animation. It just looks cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it animates so well. I guess, like, the tattoos on Maui. Like, you just have to move them around because they already look so well designed. And I love that. I love that whole sort of look.
Yeah, definitely. Just to sort of tap into what we were just talking about in terms of inclusiveness, but also bring it back to another issue that we mentioned in the trailer section, is that I was concerned that it would devolve into sort of just a big action spectacle. There were sort of a couple of scenes of him fighting a big lava thing, and I think you see him jumping down the hole about to fight the demons or whatever. Well, that was the implication in the trailer. And I was so pleasantly surprised again that it didn't go down that route. I mean, I think it does have, like, an action-y climax, but the actual climax is about talking and understanding someone, you know? Like, they don't defeat the villain via violence or, you know, destroying it or her. They defeat the villain by relating to it and, you know, understanding what happened and then fixing it, like, restoring her to her previous form, you know? Like, it's... I think that's...
Exactly.
Another sort of small difference that proves that point from earlier, I guess. And it was another way that the film really impressed me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point. Sometimes you have to kill the bad guy, but in this one, I love that they didn't. Mm. And it wasn't a monster to defeat. And I didn't guess that that lava monster was the same kind of spiritual lady.
Big giant spiritual lady. Yeah, no, I didn't
either. that they were also trying to revive. Yep. And that was like, twist is the wrong word, but a great sort of reveal.
Yep.
And yeah, it reminded me more of a Japanese film, or specifically a Ghibli movie, where the ending is like about feelings rather than a big epic showdown. I mean, as you said, it has that as well. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. But I really appreciate it.
Weirdly, not only has the epic showdown, but the like literal epic size of her makes even the like the sweet moment of her turning back yes. into an island feel very epic. Like it's really
yeah,
well done.
Yeah, exactly. yeah. Yeah. I loved all of that.
Seeing as we're going on like a massive positive rant, is there anything negative, any nitpicks you had with the film? Just to balance it out a little bit? Or was this perfection?
Yeah, there were. I think any time you have kind of like random, for lack of a better word, like magical things happening in a movie like this, it gets hard to know what the rules are and why certain powers can't just, you know, it's the whole thing of like, why don't the eagles fly Frodo and Sam straight to Mordor and drop the ring in? Like the ocean in this movie was interesting and I loved how it looked and everything, but it would help Moana sometimes and then other times not.
Yep.
And it felt a little bit like if you had to have a nitpick, the movie's so good that it doesn't ruin it at all, but you know, why don't they make a tidal wave and just
surf all the way to the island and then cover
exactly.
it with water? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, anytime she's in trouble, because most of the time, most of this film is takes place like on the ocean. Anytime she's sort of in trouble, she could be saved. Like she was never really in danger. It felt like perhaps because the water was always there to help her, even though sometimes it didn't for dramatic effect. So I think that was a bit of a bit of a issue for me. I guess if I had to be really nitpicky, it's sort of a bit of a fetch quest in terms of the middle part of the film is, I guess it's sort of like a road trip movie in that sense, which I'm totally okay with, but it's just like going from place to place, like collecting things or outrunning enemies or something like that. I'm kind of just saying that because I'm trying to think of nitpicks, though. I mean, none of it really bothered me. I don't know. Is there anything you can add to that?
Bothered you? As usual, we're on the same page. Like, that water was the ocean was the biggest thing for me. And interestingly, I haven't heard that come up in any other review or anything that I've read. But I had the exact same experience as you and just felt that, from a storytelling perspective, was inconsistent and... Yes, slightly. I don't know. It didn't ruin it, but it did sort of. I wish that they'd come up with a better way to, around that, or I mean, not have it in there at all, maybe. But I think it's probably an integral part of those like cultural myths is the water as a character or as a living thing. So I understand it from that perspective, but it does prove problematic when you're trying to do a dramatic story with your character in danger, like exactly as you said, like why didn't it do certain things. I found myself thinking that throughout the film a few times, which would probably be the biggest issue that I had. The only other thing I would probably point to would be Maui's kind of character reversal in the third act, where he cracks it then leaves and then sort of just comes, does the Han Solo moment and comes back at the last minute to save the day, which I mean is a great moment when it happens, but I feel like there wasn't much character motivation. Like we never sort of saw a solid reason for that change. You know, there wasn't, perhaps could have done with a beat there. Again, that's like nitpicky, and that was almost after the fact thinking about it, like in the moment, I didn't really think about that at all, but afterwards, when I was going through the story, I sort of popped into my head. But other than that, it's pretty flawless, I would say. Like, not many problems at all. This is just going back to the earlier stuff, but it's impressive that they, like, all the roles are cast to Islander actors, or, you know, people of Islander descent. Yeah. Like, The Rock is, like, part Samoan or something, you know. There's not a single, you know, because often they, like Aladdin or whatever, they have like international
cast
and then an American doing the voice, you know.
Exactly.
Whereas this, and apparently they had like an Islander team to
kind of council,
yes,
right?
To help them write the story and things.
I remember
which is
hearing
like,
that.
So good. More films need to do that. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, you can't accurately represent someone's culture 100% on screen, especially for a fun adventure animated film like this. But like, going to the effort to make sure you get as much as you can accurate, like, is so awesome, and presumably just makes it better. Like, you have this like well of knowledge that you would never have, that you would have to just make up out of your head, you know, if you didn't have these people there to help you.
Totally.
It's really cool.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that, and I think it does strengthen everything from the design to the storytelling, and then flows on to the casting.
Yep.
And they approached all of that so well on this movie. And I've seen a couple of reviews online that are very cynical and say that it's just Disney kind of taking the best bits of a culture and like getting money from it. And I just think if you're that cynical about a movie like this, then you just got no hope.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Like, what
you know
is
what
the
I mean?
Answer
like,
then? Like,
what can they do?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so obvious that they've approached this with such open-mindedness and willingness to collaborate and do right by this culture. And also, they've made a great film out of it. Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's a whole rant that we could go on
really
about
annoying.
That's way of thinking.
It's something,
yeah,
at least,
like, it's
something
so positive.
Tries, like,
this movie's so positive.
Not cut down.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, that's a couple of, I think, you know, vastly minority viewpoints.
Yes,
Overall, this movie's doing very well, and so it should. And I think that's great.
Yeah, it's been an enormous success as far as I am aware. But making more money than Fantastic Beasts, at least at the American box office,
thank
which
God.
Is good.
Yeah, thank God for that. Before the movie, we had a trailer for the Beauty and the Beast remake.
Oh, I still haven't watched that trailer, right.
Which I don't like, the trailer. I don't like the way this movie looks. Maybe it'll be good.
We
I
should
don't know.
Do it
I,
for
I,
this show.
We should. Yeah, we definitely should. And then with the news that they're doing The Lion King, you know, it's only a matter of time till they've done everything. And I get so annoyed by that, even though we really liked The Jungle Book. It depresses me. And seeing Beauty and the Beast, because I was thinking when I was watching that trailer, if you didn't love the animated film, this would look kind of stupid. You know, the story is good, but I think presenting it as a live action thing is just weird. The beast looks weird. It's like they're dancing around, and it plays like the theme from the animated movie, which immediately gets you because you know that theme so well. But it just annoyed, like, I don't know, that whole thing annoys me. And so I was feeling annoyed when Moana started. And then we watched it, and it was awesome. And I was so happy that, on the one hand, Disney are eating their tail, the snake eating the tail, or whatever that thing is. Like, you know, I'm very good at metaphors, obviously. on the one hand, they're just living off their past, and that annoys
cannibalizing themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But they're also making great new films that are, like, Moana is the, I don't know, Little Mermaid of today, of the 20-teens. And I love that. I love that if you're a kid now, you are having those movies again that you will grow up with and look back on and be nostalgic about. And I think that's so important because, especially in this day and age now where, like, our generation, in air quotes, is getting old enough to make stuff. All they're doing is, like, remaking shit from when they were kids, or, like, setting Stranger Things in the 80s because, hey, remember that? And, that's a bit cynical for me, but it's, like, you can't... If you keep going back, you don't make anything new. And Disney, of all companies, are making new family-friendly stuff for kids that they will look back on fondly as part of their childhoods. And that just makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. And it is, you're so right, it is so rare that films these days aren't a remake or a sequel or some riff on an old... I mean, I guess you could argue, you know, they're still quite... adhere quite closely to the Disney formula, but as we said in our review, it's like they do it in an original way, and the story is so unique and original, and it feels fresh and new. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I like that Moana was able to lift you out of your Beauty and the Beast slump that you're in before the film.
Totally.
Also, while we're talking about things that played before the film, John, the short film, did you guys see the short film? I presume it played in front of the film as well.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. Do you know? Can you remember what it was called?
No, I can't.
It's about, like, the emotions.
Yes.
Anyway, it so what were your thoughts on the that?
I loved it.
The little short.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny and a nice little tale of, not giving in to the doldrums of life and doing what you're expected and sort of following your passions, I guess.
Yeah.
And it just looked amazing. I love the style. It's kind of had all this video gamey sort of feel to it, whereas like a, not an 8-bit soundtrack, but something feeling sort of.
Yeah. And it was all very cubey, like the design.
Yes. Blocky. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Fun way. Yeah.
And seeing all the different organs and all that stuff, it was, it was great. I really, really loved it.
Yeah, cool. I liked it as well. I think it was perhaps hurt a little bit by the fact that Inside Out was so recent and still quite fresh. Like, it is just, it's similar concept in the sense that it's like him being controlled by, but I mean, it's different. It's his head and his heart. It's like made literal. But that notion of like your internal workings and how that affects your, you know, actual real world existence. It could never live up to Inside Out, and it felt very surface level compared to that. But yeah, that's a very unfair comparison. But I couldn't help but think that when I watched it. But I agree, for what it was, for like a simple little tale about following your passions or following your heart instead of your fears, I thought it was quite good. Though I did think, you know, like everything that he, like every situation he was sort of confronted with always led to him dying, which was like a fun little gag, but it was like, didn't ring very true. Like that wasn't true to what you are in fear of when you're in certain social situations.
Yeah, it's not always death.
No. I did think that was a little bit excessive, but it was funny, that like constant gag of the priest reading the gibberish as the funeral bells rang or whatever. So that was a cool, cute little shot. I don't think it was quite as good as, what was it, Piper, which I mean, it's probably a bit thinner in terms of story, but just the look and emotion of that shot, I still think about that shot a lot. I love that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Was that in front of Zootopia? Anyway, sorry, you were going to make a point.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was in front of. I was just going to say I loved that that is a thing that is still happening.
Yes.
And it was Pixar that brought that trend back by starting... Originally, they showed some of their older shorts in front of... I think it began, I don't know what, with maybe Bug's Life or Toy Story 2. And obviously it was a thing that happened way back in the 40s and 50s and stuff like that. But, it's great. Great now that every new animated feature we get from Pixar and Disney, at least, has a little short. Well, I guess there was a Minions short in front of Secret Life of Pets, and it was just awful. But most of them are really good. There's something very classic about an animated short that I love, because that's how they started out, and I love that tradition is still going.
All right, is there any final thoughts you want to mention before we wrap up?
Nothing new, really. I'm really stoked with this movie. I can't wait to see it again, and I'm going to keep listening to the soundtrack, and I think it's great that it's doing so well critically and financially, and it's sending a good message out, and just all around very positive on this film. And yeah, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, well, we've ruined bits of it for you. not too much.
It's still
not
worth it. It's worth
as
it
much as
songs.
We do sometimes. Yeah, totally. Yeah, go and see it, and see it at the cinema if you can, because it looks amazing as well. It's yeah, it's an all round great film.
Yep, completely agree.
Many thumbs up from me.
You're welcome.
Yep. Second, I second that.
I wasn't. Why would I ever say
okay,
that?
Okay. I see what's happening. Yeah. You're face to face with greatness, and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Open your eyes, let's begin. Yes, it's really me, it's Maui. Breathe it in. I know it's a lot, the hair, the body.
Thanks for listening to the pre-post film review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought of Moana. Did you love it as much as John and I did? Or did you think it was one of Disney's lesser films? We'd love to hear what you thought. You can email us at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com, and we reply to all of our emails. We love hearing from you guys, so send us anything you like.
That's right, anything at all. We even reply to the spam bots for penis enlargement. We just say thank you very much, not interested. You can also find us on Facebook. Give us a like there, that would be awesome. The links are in the show notes. You can also find us on Twitter at PrePostFR. That's also in the show notes. Handy little link for you. Good way to see what's going on with the show, and we sort of tweet out some news and our thoughts on things. And it would be great if you could subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcasting service you use. We really appreciate subscriptions, and that's a great help to the show, and thank you very much if you do it.
Yeah, definitely. And we are also on Letterboxd. If you want to follow John and myself there, there's links in the show notes to both of our profiles, and that's a cool little site that lets you log all the films that you watch, and you can keep up to date with what John and myself have been checking out. And you can join us next episode when we're going to do our annual wrap-up. So we'll do a little 2016 recap and our favourite films and trailers and things like that, which should be fun.
Hey, it's okay, you're welcome. Well, come to think of it, I gotta go. Hey, it's your day to say you're welcome. 'Cause I'm gonna need that boat. Hey. I'm sailing away. You're welcome. 'Cause Maui can do everything but float.
You're welcome.
And thank you.
Hi,
Ben. Benny, bye. 'Cause I am very, very sweaty.
Ooh.
Bet you bet.